Inshallah. So we see that the first question, I'm going with the order of this book, Tahsilu Dururi. So they're talking about the sunnats and how many and what they are. Actions which have been proven to be done in salah by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but not so much stress has been laid upon them as is laid upon farz and wajib actions, are known as sunnah. If any of these are missed unknowingly, neither does it invalidate the salah, nor does sajda sahu become necessary. If these are left knowingly, the salah is valid. There is no need for sajda sahu. However, such a person is blameworthy. So it is not a good habit to leave out sunnahs. We have to keep in mind the importance of sunnah, that every action you'll find there are sunnahs in it. So faraiz ke zariye se uska sirf farziyat ada hoti hai aur sunnat se khubsurti aati hai. In every action we do, The farz actions are just to uplift the obligation. And the sunnat actions, they beautify the amal. They make it beautiful. And you'll find in everything that we do, in our talking, in our eating, in our sleeping, in our dressing up, when the person has been practicing sunnah, you'll see there is a beauty in his life. And we have been commanded to bring beauty into our amal. When Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the hadith of Jibreel alayhi salam, mal ihsan, what is this beauty? That you make ibadat of Allah as if you can see Allah. And if not, then know that Allah is watching you. Now when Allah is watching us, we're going to try our best to beautify our amal. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi salam was addressed with a question once, and the sahabi said, Ya Rasulullah, make a concise advice for me, very short, something that's enough for me. So Rasulullah said that pray every salat as if it's your last, as a farewell salat. So we don't know if we're going to be alive till Fajr, right? So our salat, the Isha, should have been the most beautiful salat we pray. Then same way, same mentality for Fajr. Then same mentality for Zuhr. As every moment Allah is giving us life is a ni'mat, but it's not guaranteed. So that salat we are praying, it could be the last salat. And if we knew it was our last salat, we would do a lot better, right? We would push ourselves to beautify it. So Rasulullah has said to pray every salat as if it's your farewell salat, as if it's the last one you're presenting. And salat itself is the last, is one of the ahkam of Allah, which is given as a gift. So we have to take it as a gift. If in my mind is a burden, those people who leave out sunnats, they're rushing through the salat. They're missing out sunnats and they're taking it as a burden. Let me quickly finish this, get over with this and get home. But if we want to beautify it, we have to take it as a gift. Oh Allah, you gave me this gift. Ya Allah, itna achha tohfa mujhe diya. So Allah ko usi tarah se us tohfe ko pesh karna hai. There are many individuals where narration says that salat is thrown to their face, right? After the salat. Now they're coming, they're praying, making all this effort. But at the end, the salat is wrapped up and thrown to their face. That's because sunnats are left out, the beauty is left out, and all of that is taken as a burden. Okay, what are the actions which are sunnah in salat? The very first one, to raise the hands up to the ears before saying takbir-e-tahrima. Now, we'll notice that last time we talked about faraiz, and many things were left out as if they were not in the salat. You'll see now it's completing its structure. All those things are falling in place. The very first thing, to raise the hands up to the ears before saying takbir-e-tahrima. Takbir-e-tahrima is the first takbir we do. When we say Allahu Akbar, you make everything else haram. We cannot eat now, we cannot talk now, we cannot look here and there. We're under restriction, so we made those things haram. We raise our hands up to the ears. Now this raising of the hands and to keep it up to the ears is a sunnah. For women, it is up to the shoulders. They have to keep their fingertips parallel to their shoulders. The fingertips will be parallel to the shoulders. And the men will have their thumbs. That means the fingers, thumbs will be parallel to the earlobes. They're bringing it up that high. Some space should be left in between. So, ab kya sabse pehli sunnat ye hai ke haath ko kaanon tak uthana. Auraton ke liye ye hai ke kandhon tak is tarah ke ungliyon ke jo pore hain upar ke jo hissa hai ungli ka wo kandhon ke bil muqabil. اور اسی طریقے سے مرد جو ہیں جب وہ ہاتھ اٹھائیں گے تو ان کے ہاتھ کی انگلیاں ان کے کانوں کی لوگوں کے بالمقابل ہوں گی. While raising the hands for takbir, keep the fingers of both the hands raised and facing the qibla. So hands should not be here and there in that direction towards the qibla. There should be space in between the fingers. So not too tightly closed, but some space apart. तो जब हाथ उठाएंगे तो सीधे किबले की तरफ उंगलियां हो और उंगलियों के दरमियान भी थोड़ा सा फासला रखना है। जैसे उमूमी तौर पे अगर आदमी हाथ उठाए तो फासला थोड़ा सा होता है, तो पूरी तरह से उंगलियों को आपस में बंद नहीं करना। जब सर हाथ उठा के बांधने लगते हैं, when we're about to tie the hands, you'll notice many people drop their hands first, then they tie. That's not sunnah to drop. Okay, the only dropping of the hands is that's in Eid prayer. That's in Eid prayer when we're told to drop and then drop. Then scholars differ how many times to do it. Like we do 6 extra takbirah. In regular salat, it should go directly from the ears then to tie. Okay, this is very important as well. You'll find many people do this. So haath jab kaano tak utha le, uske baad seedha jo hai na usse baan le. Niche haath nahi chhodne apne barabar mein. Number 3, not to bend the head when saying takbir. When we say Allahu Akbar, our head should be straight up, right? Because one of the farz acts of salat is the face should be towards the qibla. So now we're starting the salat, the face should be towards the qibla. So if I do it like this, this is against the sunnah. You're breaking the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So any of these actions, if we start taking away sunnahs, the degree of reward will start going down. And the opposite of the sunnat act will then make it makruh. So if a person says, I've done my salat, but I didn't do any of the sunnat, then in most cases his salat was disliked. It was makruh salat. Okay, in most cases. We will not say that your salat has to be repeated, but it did not generate much reward. Saying takbir, to sar na niche karein. Jab takbir kehen, to sar seedha qibla ki taraf ho. Saying the takbir, tahreema, and other takbirs are allowed by the imam according to the need. Takbir tahreema, jab kehte hain, when we say it, it should be out loud, but not too loud that you're exaggerating. Okay? Now, according to the need means that the imam knows, let's say I didn't have the mic with me. Okay? I know there's one sub, two sub, right? So now if I say Allahu Akbar and I exaggerate too much, that it makes the makruh. Okay, it makes the, see, our ibadat is beautiful. So anything that will cause it to become ugly or weird, that will make it disliked. Okay, so according to the need, usually imams have the experience of doing it. Because they know how much voice should I raise for this much amount of people. Now we have mics, so even in a low amount, the need is fulfilled. Similar case that the sisters can easily hear, but sometimes the mic is not there. So now the imam knows there is a need for me to do it really loud. And if somebody doesn't become the mukabbir, mukabbir is a person who takes the sound and says again, he repeats the imam's takbir. So if he's not there, I have to say it as loud enough that the people can hear it as well. So jitni zarurat hai, utne zor se imam ko Allahu Akbar kehna, ye bhi sunnat hai, this is a sunnah. And not just for the beginning of the salat, from going from one ruku to another, from one rukun to another, that means one action of salat to another. So you're going from qiyam to ruku, from ruku to qawma, from qawma to sujood, all of that were required takbirs according to the need. So if a person is a muqtadi, he is behind the imam. Ek shakhs agar muqtadi hai, to wo aram se Allah Akbar kahega, zor se nahi kahega. He has to do it in a silent voice and not out loud. The muqtadi, those who are following the imam, they will say it silently. Similar cases for the munfarid. Munfarid is the person who prays on his own. So if he's praying on his own, he should do it silently as well. There's no need to yell out and to say it very loudly. That's why it's going to bring beauty in the ibadat. To fold the right hand around the left below the navel. Now these, as we know, if we follow a different fiqh, we should acquire from those ulama. According to the Hanafi fiqh, they give preference to tying the hand under the navel. And there's a narration of Ali radiallahu anhu where it said that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would tie his hands under the navel. Yani, insan apne naaf ke niche jo hai, haath bande. Now who? This is for the men. For the women, they are going to put their hands on their chest. Which one on top? Right should be on top, left should be underneath. And these are all sunnats. Now, if somebody were asked question, I did it this way instead of this way, you missed the sunnat. Okay? That's how we know the rulings of salat. You're breaking from the sunnat, now your reward is coming down. It's not that you have to pray all over again, but we should never lose importance of sunnat. People, when they learn this, sometimes they become relaxed. Oh, I know the sunnah, it was only sunnah. So scholars have said that we should make dua to Allah, let us follow all the sunnahs. We should never feel that a sunnah is light. It doesn't matter which category of sunnah it may be. If we're not doing it, we should make dua that Allah gives us tawfiq to do it. But never to make it light in the sight of people. Oh, it's only sunnah, it's not that much. We should never speak like that, as these are points of misguidance then. Okay, now we're moving on to the next one, saying sana. So, isme haath, maine haath bandhne ka bhi bataya ki seedha haath upar aayega aur ulta haath niche aayega, naaf ke niche. Auraton ke liye seene par. Saying sana, recite sana. With what is sana? We know this. Subhanakallahumma bihamdika wa tabarakasmuka wa ta'ala jadduka wa la ilaha ghayru. Now, what are the masail related to this? If we are in salat behind the imam, we came in, the imam is already reciting. He started reciting Surah Fatiha or Qiraat. In this case, there is nothing. Nothing. I should not start and recite Sana Subhanakallah, because according to the Hanafi, fiqh is not allowed to read behind the imam. His recitation is for the whole Jamaat. So right when we come in, we just say Allah Akbar and that's it. We're quiet. The saying of Sana is in a case when we start with the imam. Right? So when we start with the imam, you see that there is a few seconds before the imam starts to recite Alhamdulillah. That in that time we're going to recite Sana Subhanakallahum. And similar case is for the person who any time the qiraat starts, we have to keep in mind no more reading behind the imam. Okay. So Sana ki surat mein ji. Yes. Yes.
But when he's behind the imam, is he saying,
so that is also coming up. The next two points is about that. I'll get to it, inshallah. So, sana point is that if you come in, no reading. Okay, let's get to this one. The next one is ta'awuz. Ta'awuz is a'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. So, in the first rakat, for a person who's praying on his own, in his first rakat, he recites sana. Then he's reciting A'udhu Billah, then he's going to recite Bismillah and then start Fatiha. If it's his second rakat, now no A'udhu Billah, only Bismillah. Okay, you recite Bismillah Rahman Rahim, start Fatiha and then Surah. There is no Bismillah Rahman Rahim between Fatiha and the Surah. Okay, it's in the beginning. We're doing the Bismillah Rahman Rahim to start Qiraat. Once the Qiraat has started, now Fatiha and other Surahs, they're all Qiraat. So we've already started in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So shuru mein bismillah padhna hai aur ta'awuz jo hai a'udhu billahi minash shaitan ye pehli rakat mein hai sir. Dusri rakat mein aap jab khade honge ye us surat mein jab hum akele pad rahe hain. We're praying on our own and we just stood up. So second rakat now only bismillahir rahmanir rahim and then suratul fatiha. for the imam, let's say now this case that it was saying that if you have come in, imam is already reciting. Okay, so same case is again, no sana, no a'udhu billah, no bismillah, Allahu Akbar, and stay quiet. It is important that the Hanafi fiqh, they say, وَإِذَا سَمِعُوا الْقُرْآنَ وَإِذَا قُرِيَ الْقُرْآنَ فَاسْتَمِعُوا لَهُ. That when Quran is recited, then stay quiet, وَأَنْسِتُوا, stay quiet and listen carefully. So we are all now dependent on the imam's recitation. Okay, so in this surah, you're not going to say sana, na sana parna hai, na a'udhu parna hai, na bismillah parna hai, jab imam ne qiraat shuru kar di ho. Jab akele padh rahe ho to us surat mein aapne sana bhi padhna hai, auzu padhna hai, bismillah padhna hai. Dusri rakat mein bismillah padhna hai, auzu billah minash shaitan rajim nahi padhna. Then the next one says, yes, I just said that. I'll repeat it again. If you start with the imam, that means imam has not started recitation. There's a gap of silence. That gap of silence is for sana, a'udhu, bismillah. But in the case where, in most cases, that much time, if you've come in and the qiraat has started, that now there is no recitation needed. Now, when you're praying alone, you're going to do all of those things. But the question was for behind the imam. Another thing that scholars have also differed on this matter, they have said that if you're behind the imam, then after sana, then a'udhu bismillah is not necessary. It should only be done by the imam. That's why, because he's doing the recitation, he should do a'udhu billah bismillah, not everyone. So there is a difference in that, but we give preference to the point of if behind the imam, we should just read sana. Okay, we leave that point that should we read a'udhu. If it's silence and he hasn't started Fatiha, then some people do recite A'udhu Bismillah. But if we consider A'udhu Bismillah and Bismillah as an ayat of the Quran, if you consider it as an ayat of the Quran, then Imam's recitation is your recitation. Are we understanding this? So Imam ne jab A'udhu Billah Bismillah pad liya, to hamara bhi ho gaya. Hame sirf sana padna, uske baad khamosh rehna. Okay? Okay. To recite the Bismillah, okay, reciting same ruling here, that in every rakat for a muqtadi, he has to recite Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim before he starts Suratul Fatiha. If the Imam is there, he is going to recite Bismillah, I should stay quiet. So second rakat is starting. The second rakat is starting. So now the Imam is going to recite Bismillah and read his Fatiha, and that is going to be enough for everyone. ठीक है दूसरी रकात में फिर इमाम जो पढ़ेगा हमें बिस्मिल्लाह भी नहीं पढ़नी हमें खामोश रहना है ठीक है सो ऑल द थिंग्स दैट आर ऑफ किरात इज लेफ्ट ऑन फॉर द इमाम टू रिसाइट ओनली सूरह फातिहा इन द थर्ड एंड फोर रकात ऑफ फर्ज सला नाउ वी लर्न इन द फराइज एंड इन द वाजिबा दैट द किरात व्हिच इज नेसेसरी इज इन द फर्स्ट टू रकात ऑफ फर्ज थर्ड एंड फोर्थ किरात इज सुन्नत द थर्ड रकात किरात And the fourth rakat qiraat is sunnat. So, if in that case, we recite Suratul Fatiha, that's the only thing we're reciting, right? In Farz Salat. You write Fatiha and you go down. What's the least amount? If we're alone, we can even recite Subhanallah 3 times and that will be sufficient as well. That will be sufficient. But scholars say that it cannot, Fatiha afzal hai, so we should go ahead and recite Fatiha, but it's considered as a sunnah in the third and fourth rakat. If somebody didn't pray the Fatiha in the third and fourth rakat, and he stayed quiet for 3 subhanallahs, or he said subhanallah 3 times, the sunnah is fulfilled. Now he can move on to the ruku, and he does not have to make sajda sahu or anything. To say Ameen softly, this one and the next one, to recite Sana, Ta'awuz and Ameen softly. All of these things have to be done. When I say softly, it means silently. And it should be done that I can hear myself. I don't have to make others hear. Okay, so if I say Ameen, I can hear it myself. And other scholars have said that if the tongue and the lips move, that's enough. Okay, but if we visualize it that I said in my mind, that's not enough. That's not enough. So, sirf dimag mein soch lena ke Ameen humne pad liya ya Ta'awuz tasmiya pad liya. तो इस सूरत में सही नहीं है इतना पढ़ना है कि या तो खुद सुन ले ठीक है या उससे कम यह हो कि आदमी की जबान और उसके होंठ हिले कम से कम ठीक है एनीथिंग लेस देन दैट दैट यू डिडंट मूव योर माउथ एंड यू आर जस्ट विजुअलाइजिंग द आयत दैट्स नॉट क़िरात इट विल नॉट बी कंसीडर्ड करेक्ट To recite as much qiraat as is sunnah for every salat. Now Rasulullah's habit was different. For Jummah in the morning fajr, he would recite Surah Sajda. That's we should learn those things. That in Isha prayer, Rasulullah would usually recite from Surah Bayyinah or from to the end, from those portions. And Fajr Salat, there was a longer surah. ठीक है सुबह की नमाजों में लंबी आपको सूरतें मिलेंगी आपकी सीरत में इसी तरह रात की जो नमाजें हैं मगरिब ईशा की सूरह बैना और आखिर तक के उसके हिस्सों में से आपसे सम पढ़ते थे तो उसमें से पढ़ना ये सुन्नत का सवाब फिर मिल जाएगा सो रीड फ्रॉम व्हाट वी नो दैट रसूलुल्लाह सल्लल्लाहु अलैहि वसल्लम रीड अ हदीस रसूलुल्लाह सल्लल्लाहु अलैहि वसल्लम यूज्ड टू रिसाइट दिस इन हिज फजर सो वी मेक इट पार्ट ऑफ आवर किरात एंड वी विल गेट द रिवॉर्ड ऑफ सुन्नत टू से तस्बीह इन रुकू एंड सजदा Now this tasbih means to recite Subhana Rabbil Azim, Subhana Rabbil Azim 3 times. To say it less than 3 times, it's makruh. To say it less than 3 times, it's makruh. That means you're leaving out a sunnah, it's going to become disliked. Now on our own time, we should be doing a lot more. But kamas kam teen dafa. At least 3 times we should say Subhana Rabbil Azim in ruku and Subhana Rabbil Ala 3 times in sujood. Now, to read it more than 3 times, is it allowed? We notice that Imam usually, he does his salat slower that it can be enough for everyone to keep up. So, we usually have time. So, yes, after the 3, we can continue. We can do 5, we can do 7. It's good to do odd over even. Preference has always been given to odd. So, we should keep an odd number of it if we can. Now, if I'm saying Subhana Rabbil Azim, Subhana Rabbil Azim, I just said it twice and Imam Sahib got up. Imam Sahib went from Ruku, and he went into Qiyam. right? And I didn't do three. So it's no problem. I have to follow the imam. I should leave it and go with the imam. But in the case where there is tashahud, right? And I haven't recited at-tahiyyat up to raising the finger. I didn't recite, and imam already does salam. So in this case, I have to recite, then do salam. Okay? It's different for tashahud. Tashahud is a wajib. So I have to. That's my own wajib. It's not the qiraat that imams will become mine. It's a different thing. So in any time we have to recite at-tahiyyat, if the imam finishes first and he got up for the third rakat, and I didn't finish my at-tahiyyat, I didn't raise my finger yet, so I should finish my at-tahiyyat, then get up. It's different than Subhan Rabbil Azim and Subhan Rabbil Ala. Ye sunnat hai, wo wajib hai. Theek hai, toh jab wajib chhootne ka andesha hota hai, toh wajib ko pura karke phir imam ke saath aap aage badhenge. तो तशहुद के अंदर हमारा भी तशहुद खत्म नहीं हुआ और इमाम तीसरी रकात में खड़े हो गए तो हम तशहुद खत्म करके यानी उंगली उठाने तक ये करके फिर इमाम के साथ हम खड़े हो जाएं या इमाम ने सलाम फेर दिया और मेरा तशहुद खत्म नहीं हुआ तो इस सूरत में भी मुझे तशहुद कम से कम खत्म कर लेना दुरूद शरीफ दुआ इट्स गोना कम अप दैट इट्स अ सुन्नत सो इफ इट्स लेफ्ट आउट बिकॉज ऑफ फॉलोइंग द इमाम इट्स ओके बट वाजिब शुड नॉट बी लेफ्ट आउट बिकॉज ऑफ फॉलोइंग द इमाम ठीक है To keep the back and the head in same level while holding the knees, fingers of both the hands in ruku. Now, this is basically, we did the whole structure of this. Then when we go into ruku, we try our best to keep the back straight. Okay, it shouldn't be like a hump that we're doing halfway, but try our best to make it as straight as possible. In level while holding the knees now holding the knees for the men they're going to spread out their fingers and hold it for the women they are not going to put all their whole back down and they're not going to spread their fingers either the everything that is closer to concealing their body that's what's been given to the sisters so they're not going to go all the way down in their ruku to make their back straight instead they'll go down and they'll hold on to their knees without spreading their fingers तो जब औरतें रुकू में जाएंगी तो पूरी तरह से अपनी कमर को सीधा करना उनके लिए नहीं है ये मर्दों के लिए है कि पूरी तरह से अपने कमर को सीधा करें और घुटनों को इस तरह पकड़ना है कि हाथ की उंगलियां खुल जाए पकड़ के Saying by the Imam, Sami Allahu liman hamida and followed by Rabbana lakal hamd by the Muqtadi. The Imam gets up, he says, Sami Allahu liman hamida. Right? So the Muqtadis are going to say, Rabbana lakal ham. Some say walakal ham, same thing, no difference there to put a wow there or not. So no. It's not sunnat. If you've done it, no problem. But if you want to follow sunnat, then we're going to stick to these things. These are small things. Even the imam sometimes says Rabbana lakal ham too. But if we want exact instructions, then we're just going to say Rabbana lakal ham. That's it. For the person who's praying alone, then he will do both. He will do what? Sami Allahu liman hamida, Rabbana lakal hamd. The munfarid. That's why it says next is the munfarid. That means a person who's praying alone. Munfarid jab karega, to both tasmi' and tahmid. Tasmi' is Sami Allahu liman hamida. Tahmid is Rabbana lakal hamd. Imam has to just say Sami Allahu liman hamida. Okay. Next one. While going into sajda, first place the knees, and we did this in the structure too. Sajda mein jaate waqt pehle kya aayenge first thing is to the knees should touch the ground then the hands and then the forehead okay if we go directly you see sometimes youngsters they jump into the sujood so they miss the sunnah reward okay so we have to learn with practice that in nawafil we practice and then you'll see the farz will become a lot better so first the knees okay then the hands and then the forehead अगर इस जी अगर मजबूरी की सूरत है कोई तकलीफ है बाज़ दफ़ा बड़ी उम्र के आज़ाद सीधा नीचे चले जाते हैं तो इंशाल्लाह अल्लाह से उम्मीद रखनी होती कि अल्लाह फिर सुन्नत छोड़ने का गुनाह नहीं देंगे इस पर व्हेनेवर देयर इज कैपेबिलिटी इज लॉस्ट यू कैन नॉट डू इट इट हर्ट्स और इट कैन कॉज एनी काइंड ऑफ सिकनेस बिकॉज ऑफ डूइंग इट देन वी शुड कीप होप दैट अल्लाह आई एम ट्राइंग बट इट हर्ट्स सो इंशाल्लाह वी विल नॉट बी सिनफुल ऑफ लीविंग दिस Inshallah. In qada or jalsa, placing the left foot on the ground horizontally and sitting on it. Now, ulte paon ko bichha dena, us par baith jana. Theek hai? Ye qada ke andar. And then right foot vertically, to keep the right foot up with the toes facing towards the Qibla, resting both the hands on the thighs. Now, this is why it's being declared a sunnah, is because if it's, where do we get it from? Then why do we have to do this? If it's not even sunnah and we're saying, is paon ko upar karo, niche karo, because Rasulullah ﷺ did it, that's why we are being instructed to do it that way. Now, sometimes some people's feet hurt when they keep it like this for too long, and this complaint comes up a lot of times. So if we keep practicing, a time will come, you won't feel it anymore. A time will come. But if we pray once in a while, usually people who don't pray regularly, they have these issues. Or they're used to praying on their chair so much. So when they sit and when they do all of these arkan, they have difficulty. So regularly trying, then the body itself will get used to all of these things, inshallah. So hands on the thighs, that's also sunnah. And keeping the right foot up and the left down, that's sunnah. And for the sisters, both of the feet will come out. It's called tawarruk. You put both feet out towards the right and you sit on your left. So that we showed already in the images that we had before, that sisters are not going to do this. They're going to do it differently because it's closer to concealing their body. So seedhe paon ko utha ke rakhna hai aur ulte paon ko bicha kar us pe baith jana hai. To raise the index finger of right hand, as one says, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammad. So in this case, ilah, that's where scholars agree that that's where your finger should be, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. So then you bring it back down. Okay, so ilah, on the ilah, your finger should be up, and that's also a sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. To recite durushay is salawat on Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So after the tashahud is finished, then Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad and durood Ibrahimi. That whole thing you have to recite, and you get the reward of sunnah. Now, in some cases, if we missed it, you'll be missing a sunnah, a big sunnah of the salat. But after the tashahud is done, now the next thing, if this person does salam, technically the salat is then finished. You don't have to do anything all over again. But these things are sunnah, so it's important we do all of them. So durood sharif means to, and in the qaida akhira means the last qaida we're sitting in. So if it's a 2 rakat prayer, the last. If it's 3 rakat, and the 3rd rakat. If it's 4 rakat prayer, then in the 4th rakat. So in the first qaida, if we do it, then that's a mistake. Why? Because after the tashahud, we're supposed to get up. And this person forgot, and now he's reading durood as well. So if he's read more than half of the durood, he's delayed the next wajib. So delay a wajib is also, you need to do sajda sahu. So that's why he then has to do sajda sahu at the end of that. To read a dua after durood sharif. After durood sharif, some people read Rabbi ja'alni muqima sar. Some people read Rabbana atina fid dunya has. Any duas which are from Quran and Sunnah are allowed to read at this time. Many people, you hear them read Allahumma fil lil mu'mineen wal mu'minat wal muslimin. These du'as are in Quran and Sunnah, so it's fine. No, nothing wrong with that. But anything that is resembled to human speech, that type of du'a is not allowed. For example, I say in Arabic, I'm saying a'ti khubuzan. Give me a bread. Now I would say that to a human being, a person I'm buying bread from, right? So if I say something that can be asked from a human being and it's not in Quran and Sunnah, that my salat is broken because I'm speaking now. It's no longer a dua. You have spoke in the salat and speaking. We'll get to the mufsidat later. But speaking in the salat breaks the salat. So this is important. When we say any dua, it has to be a masnoon dua. A masnoon dua means Quran and Sunnah. It's found in Quran and Sunnah. And secondly, it does not resemble human speech. Or you're saying that, oh Allah, give me a car. Now, we can say that outside of the salat. It's not a Quran and Sunnah dua, right? So to ask about dunya, we see many scholars have written many examples to this. But anything you would ask somebody else for, you can say, let me borrow your car, let me borrow your key. Or you're asking for, brother, give me this much money. You can say that to another makhluk, right? So that kind of thing is not allowed in the salat, that that's speech, and that breaks the salat. So du'as, when we choose to read at the end, let's say the imam is taking forever to do salam, right? This problem comes up, right? I get this all the time. They say, why are you doing so long? So if the imam is taking forever, he might be reading other du'as, right? So In that time, I can read other du'as if I know. رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً رَبِّ اجْعَلْ لِي. Yes, so these du'as, when they're found in Quran and Hadith, they're going to masnoon du'as which are in Arabic, right? In the Arabic, so we've memorized them at some time. Astaghfar is okay. Allahumma ghfir lil mu'minina, it's okay. Du'a for those. Allahumma inni zalamtu nafsi, that's allowed. So all of these are found in Quran and Sunnah, it's fine. And they do not resemble human speech, so we're okay then. You get? Ji ji ji. So who can say that we did this or Adnan bhai batayi? Yes, okay. What do they say? Ji. And we're coming up, then the opposite. Go back. Forehead and nose. Ji. Okay? So we're basically going down this and then the head. And you're coming up the head and then the nose. You get? To turn the face, okay, we'll finish this one. To turn the face for salam towards the right first. So accidentally you did the left first, so you missed sunnah. So now do right then left. Okay, galti se ho gaya to sunnat ka sawab nikal jayega. So pehle seedhe taraf salam phirenge. Now, when we're making salam, what intention should we have? We're making intention to do salam. Wait, the farz, the wajib is when you said as-salam. You said Allah's name, now your salat is finished. The sunnat part is assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. The rahmat ki jo dua hoti hai, wo sunnat mein aati hai. So now, when we say salam, we're making niyat of the muqtadis next to us. We're making niyat of the angels that are on our shoulders. And we're making niyat for the pious jinn on our right. Theek hai? Jo jinnat hai nek, unki niyat. Jo humare saath muqtadi hai, unki niyat. Aur isi tarikhe se, jo humare kiraman katibin hai, unki niyat. You're making salam to all of this makhluk. One more thing for muqtadis. If the imam, you're standing on that side and imam is on your right. So you make intention for imam as well. If you're standing there, imam is on the right. So we make intention to do salam towards the imam as well. If we're towards this side, right? On this side. Now all of those things, when we make salam to the left, you make intention of angels, you make intention of pious jinn, all the musallis and the imam, because he's on the left. So you didn't do it on the right for imam, on the left. So you see how much consciousness is needed. We don't think this much when we're in salah, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, and we get up. But that much is needed. If I want 100%, I'm aiming for the highest, and I want the du'as to be accepted for my salah, this is the beauty that comes through sunnah, that from A to Z, your mind is there. You know what you're doing. So if you're right behind the imam, usually where the muazzin stands, then on both sides, he's going to make the niyat of imam. With the angels, with the pious jinn, with the muqtadis, and the imam on both sides. Okay? Ji. You mean this side? Yes. So when we make salam on one side, you said the word salam, it finishes the prayer, but we want to get more reward, we do the sunnats. So, ab sunnaton ko bhi hame pura karna hai. So, lafz salam se namaz ko khatam karna, ye wajib hai. Uske baad assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah aur niyat karna hai sari cheezon ki, ye sab sunnat ke andar phir aapko. Yeah, so when you say assalam, that means your salat is, wo lafz salam se khatam ho jata hai. Uske baad jo aap karenge, wo sunnat mein aa raha hai. So, sawab phir aapka badhta jayega. Now, if a person is alone, he's going to make niyat only for the angels. Okay? Akele mein jab namaz padh ke salam phirte, to phir, nahin, sirf malaika kiraman katibin ki, aapne niyat karni. Because jinnat, usually they participate in jamaats. When you're alone, we don't know if they're there or not, so we're just going to do for angels. Okay? Yes, now we can ask if anything was not clear. Dubara isko dohra lenge, inshallah, it's finished. Yes. Too long in the...